Well, you know, I always pray before I preach or teach, and it is just my declaration of my need for His help. It is my honest and sincere request for His help. So some people might think of it as kind of a ritual, but it is not for me. It is more than that. It is a sincere prayer. But it's strange how we can kind of fall into mindless habits. And I read about one Lutheran pastor. He would always start the service by walking to the pulpit and saying to the people, "The Lord be with you." And the people would always respond, "And also with you." But one Sunday morning, the sound system wasn't working right. And so he went to the pulpit and he said, "There's something wrong with this microphone." And of course, the people responded, "And also with you." So that'll keep the pastor humble. Yeah. We're going to begin a series this morning, I believe, will impact every heart and life and will help us in our walk with God. What if you could have more of the favor and the blessings of God on your life? Not something that you earned, but I'm talking about unearned favor and blessings. I'm talking about what the Bible calls grace. James 4:6, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What is it that keeps us from more of God's favor, from more of the blessings of God? Sometimes we just need to speak plainly and just hit the problem head on. And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. Pride is the issue. Oh, y'all, real quiet. It's shouting ground, right? You know, pride is kind of like body odor. Sometimes you don't know that you have it, but everybody else does. Uh-huh. Don't be nudging anybody. That's not nice. Because I got to tell you, if you're thinking that, you know, you're hoping somebody else is listening to this message, somebody else is probably thinking of you. So just saying. Now, those of you of my generation, you probably remember this old song by Carly Simon, "You're So Vain." Anybody? Anybody? Some of you don't want to admit to being as old as me. And some of you don't want to admit you heard that song. But it was so popular, you couldn't hardly help but hear it if you were alive back then. But, you know, it went something. By the way, my wife told me to sing it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spare you. But it goes like this. "You're so vain. You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you, don't you? Don't you?" Some of you are so vain this morning, you think this message is not about you, don't you? Don't you? If you think it's not about you, it's probably especially about you. All right. One pastor, he preached about pride, and a young woman came up to him after the service. And she said, "Oh, pastor, I've fallen into this sin of pride. I need help." She said, "Every time I come to church," she said, "I can't help but think that I'm the prettiest girl here." He said, "Oh, don't worry about it. That's not pride. It's just a horrible mistake." We all need somebody to help us get humble sometime. Well, why is it that we want others to think that we're handsome or pretty? Why is it we want others to think that we're smart or witty or funny? Why do we want others to think that we're spiritual or we're the best at something? Why do we want others to think we're strong? Now, the nice way to say it is ego. The Bible way to say it is pride. We want the approval of others. You know, that's one of the things that Jesus said was wrong with the Pharisees, is that they did things for the approval of man. But see, this is so common and so pervasive in our culture, a lot of the time we're just not even aware of how much pride we've allowed in our life. Look how many likes my post got. Wow. Anybody, do you check to see how many likes you got? Uh-huh. Why does that matter to us? Oh, look how many friends I have. Never mind that I barely know 3/4 of them. Pride. Pride is always thinking about me, what I want, how this will affect me, what's in it for me. I mean, this message, why do I care about this? What's in it for me? One of the greatest braggarts of all time, Muhammad Ali, the boxer who made that statement famous. He said, I'm the greatest. He was on an airplane one time and the stewardess walked by and said, sir, you need to buckle your seatbelt. And he said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, Superman doesn't need an airplane. Yep. But sometimes we kind of need somebody to bring us back down to earth. But I got to tell you that I think sometimes pridefully we do that, right? But it's amazing how we can fall into the sin of pride, because in our culture, pride is not even considered to be a bad thing. Sometimes, I'm going to acknowledge this, all right? Sometimes we use pride in a different way than what the scripture is talking about when it says God resists the proud. We use the word pride or proud sometimes to commend someone. I mean, most parents have done this with their kids. They say, I'm proud of you. And what they mean is that they approve, they're happy, they're pleased with them, they're commending them. Do it with your grandkids too, right? And it's even in some of the new modern translations, not in very many, but in a few of them, they use the word pride or proud in a positive way, like where the Apostle Paul is commending someone, and they changed it to pride, or that he was proud of them. And so I want to acknowledge that sometimes in our culture, we use the word pride or being proud to commend somebody. And I get that. But you need to understand that in the scripture, there is a different word for pride or being proud as opposed to the one where Paul is commending someone. Two totally different concepts and meanings. And we need to understand that. And this isn't just about semantics or words. I want you to understand that in our culture, pride has become a positive, a good thing. And all of this shift towards talking about pride as a great thing, when in the scripture, the word for pride is a horrible thing. It is something that God hates. We don't want in our life. Oh, quiet, quiet, quiet. I know, I'm going to say some things that go against the grain of culture because it's from the Bible. And we got to build our lives on the Word of God, not on what is pleasing or what brings the approval of our culture, but rather seeking to please the Lord and to get His approval on our life. I remember, this has been going on a long, long time. I remember when I was 12 years old and I went to a Christian camp, and one day an elderly minister came and he went on a hike with us. We were going to go to this one place and he was going to give a special devotion. And so as we walked down this path, here I am, 12-year-old boy. Well, he puts his hand on my shoulder and he asked me to help him along. He just needed somebody to kind of steady him along. And, you know, being a 12-year-old young man, I felt really good about that. There's another word for that. It's called pride. And he said, are you proud? And my little 12-year-old mind worked really quick. I got the right answer real fast. I said, I'm proud to be a Christian. He didn't say another word about it. But I knew in my heart that I was proud of a lot more than just being a Christian. I knew I was proud to be the one that he asked to help him along. I was strong. And I knew that there were a lot of other things in my life that I was proud about. And it's amazing how in our culture that's viewed as a positive, as a plus, when the scripture has so much to say about it. Pride has become an acceptable thing, a good thing. It's one of those things that we're taught even. I mean, kids in school and even at home, they're often told, you need to be proud of yourself. Take pride in your work and your accomplishments. Now, I want to say something to you. We should always do our very best. If what you mean by take pride is do the best you can. Yes, whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. But we're seeking to please the Lord, not just get the approval of man. Yes, you should be the best student. Yes, you should be the best employee, because God wants us to be the best. He wants us to give our best. Whatever you do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Always, yes. Amen. But it's not for us to be proud about. The sin of pride. Always looking for approval of man. Thinking that we are above others. But when we're humble, we seek to please God and to serve. And we need to realize that just because we're believers doesn't mean that we are exempt from this issue of pride. In fact, a lot of the time, religion is twisted into a cause for pride rather than humility. Like the Pharisee that Jesus talked about. He said, he prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. And how easy it is for us to fall into that kind of pride, where we look down on others and we judge others. Such a strong indicator that we've got pride in our life. Sometimes people allow pride to keep them from worshiping God. They, especially men, seem to struggle with this. They don't want to do anything. They don't clap their hands, raise their hands. They don't really want to sing. And then there are others who fall into pride because they feel proud about the way they worship. I'm just saying, we all have to deal with this issue on some level, in some area of our life, but pride has just become such an accepted part of our culture, it's celebrated. It's even expected in our leaders. Not a new thing. Malachi 3:15 says, so now we call the proud blessed. It has become sought after. Now, sometimes maybe somebody's arrogance just crosses the line even in our culture. But for the most part, pride has just become acceptable, and especially in our leaders. But one of the things that I've seen happen is we kind of have a new way to talk about how we need to be proud. And some of you, I understand, may take issue with me tying these two things together, but just hear me out. We talk about self-esteem, the real problems in our world. Listen, it has to do with people not having high self-esteem. They got low self-esteem. Well, I got to tell you, I'm convinced the real problem with humanity is a fallen, sinful nature. That's not a lack of self-love. It's amazing how even preachers have preached this garbage and twisted the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. And they say, see, you got to love your neighbor, or love yourself first before you love your neighbor. That's not what Jesus was saying. When he says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying that you treat your neighbor the way you want to be treated. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was not promoting love yourself. Y'all are real quiet. I know you've heard all this garbage. I want you to hear the word of the Lord today. Amen. His opinion is the only one that really matters. That's right. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Another translation says, terrible times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters. Proud. Wow. Are we living in that time? Yeah. That generation? That describes our culture perfectly. Lovers of themselves. Boasters. Proud. Look what I've done. I've done this and I've done that. And you, this society, they may consider pride to be a good thing. But I tell you, you need to hear the word of the Lord, and we need to get free from pride. Amen. Get it out of our heart and keep it out. There's a great stronghold of pride in our culture. And it's so pervasive, it's so strong that it makes it difficult for us to truly be humble before the Lord and keep our thinking right. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I want you to understand that in the culture we live in, there's this spiritual stronghold of pride. Yes. It is super strong in America. It is so much a part of our culture. And I want you to understand, it is a spiritual thing. Yes. And in our own hearts and minds, we need to tear down that stronghold and get rid of pride so that we can truly be humble servants of the Lord and be the people that He's called us to be and give Him the glory and the honor that only belongs to Him, that no flesh can glory in His presence. God and God alone is to be exalted. And we need to get rid of this mindset that pride is okay and embracing that. No, we need to tear down that stronghold, and especially, you might not be able to fix anything in culture, but I'll tell you what, you can fix something right here. And you see our own heart and mind, and He's given us this mighty weapon of warfare, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And with the sword of the Spirit, we can change our heart and our mind and get it right. He says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's how you tear down that stronghold. But hear me now. God hates pride. He hates it. Proverbs 16:5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Now, it's not our place to judge, but when somebody is proud in heart in this world, I just want you to know that's an abomination to God. He hates it. He can't stand it. And this is what the Scripture says. I know. It goes against the grain of culture. Who do we want to please? Because if we want to please the Lord, I don't know about you, I don't want even a trace of pride in me. Lord, help me, search out my heart and show me. I want to be a humble servant of the Lord just to please Him. And I encourage you this morning, don't settle for having a little pride in your heart. God absolutely hates it. It shows up in all kinds of ways. There's self-exaltation, arrogance, thinking too much of yourself. Here's one of the easy ways you see it in your own life is putting others down or putting yourself above others, thinking you're better than others, judging others. But pride was the original sin. It's the underlying sin behind so many other sins. You see, pride plays a part so often in our disobedience. Somehow we think that, well, my way is better, or the rules don't apply to me. I know what I'm doing. I can handle it. Pride. But throughout the scriptures, you see over and over and over again where someone allowed pride in their life, and eventually it brought destruction. Back to James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Do we actually believe that God resists the proud? Grace is God's unearned favor and blessing in our life, and we like to quote the verse, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I want to tell you this morning that when you are going through a great battle, when you are enduring a trying of your faith, that God is for you, that He will be with you and He'll strengthen you and He will help you. I also want to tell you that a lot of the time, people going through hard times and in a world of trouble in their life and nothing works and everything's going wrong, God is opposing them. He is resisting them. See, we got to take the whole counsel of God's word. We can't just pull one phrase out and run over the rest of the Bible. We got to take the whole counsel. And here's what it says. He resists the proud. So we want pride out of our life. Why do we call it the original sin? Before God made man, Satan was a beautiful angel named Lucifer, who the Lord had created to lead the worship of heaven. But in pride and selfish ambition, he rebelled against the Most High God. And here's an interesting passage in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. It says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan makes five boasts, and each time it begins with, I will. Pride. It's about me and what I want. Verse 15 tells us it didn't work out so well for him. He was brought down to the pit. He was booted out of heaven. And one day, he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and they fell into sin. The Lord had told them that they would surely die if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Satan comes, and he tells Eve, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of its fruit, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God. I want you to get the parallel here. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. And now he's telling Adam and Eve, you will be like God. Pride played such a part in the fall of man, and it still does. Be like God. I can be like God. I can make my own judgments, my own laws, my own rules. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Pride. Some think that because we were created in His image, I'll tell you, I don't spend a lot of time talking about false doctrine, but some of these, they just need to be addressed. This false doctrine of people saying created in His image means an exact replica. That is a lie. That is not at all what it means to be created in His image. An exact replica. He is omnipotent. He has all power. He flung the stars into space by the word of His mouth. I don't care what they say. Nobody has that kind of power. He's omniscient. He knows absolutely everything. Before a word is on your tongue, He knows what you're going to say. He knows everything, past, present, and future. Adam and Eve, they didn't even have knowledge of good and evil. He has no beginning and no end. Now, we may be eternal souls, but everything and everybody, every being in all creation, He created. He's the only uncreated. So we need to understand something. We're not God. We never will be God. And this prideful theology that people come up with is a bunch of garbage. Just had to get that out, y'all. I might be peeving, but somebody needs to hear it. I tell you, it is amazing to me the junk that people start buying into that leads them down the road to trouble. But pride causes all kinds of trouble in our life. Here's one of the most misquoted verses of Scripture. Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction. Some of you wanted to say a fall, right? It goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is a popular teaching or a common teaching tool in Scripture where something is said twice. It's really the same thing, so it's okay to say it that way. But pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. I want you to know that pride will always bring trouble in your life one way or another. One of the most common ways is it will cause strife in your life. You talk about having a conflict. You got two people that both are sure they're right. You got strife. Pride will keep you from getting your life turned around and going the right direction. Just, it's amazing how in pride, people will just keep doing the same thing, even though it's heading them towards trouble. Pride can destroy your marriage. It can destroy your relationship with your kids. Pride can get you fired. Pride can cause you to have a car wreck. I'm preaching good right now. Some of you need to hear it. Pride will cause you to refuse to admit you're doing wrong or you've done wrong even. Pride can cause you to make purchases you shouldn't make. Pride will cause you to say things you shouldn't say. It'll keep you from realizing your need for God's help. And pride will render your prayers unfruitful. Pride, one way or another, it'll bring you down. It can keep you from learning and growing spiritually. I'll never forget one guy. The guy, you know, he's educated. He's got a doctorate and blah, blah, blah. And one day he says to me, he says, I don't need to go down there to the church of learn from it, something from somebody else. Good grief. You can learn from a two-year-old if you'll listen. The scripture says, out of the mouths of babes, you never know who God might use. He used a donkey to speak to a prophet. I had a little bit of that pride working one day when some guy was given a word from the Lord, and I thought, there's no way God's using that guy. And the Lord, it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, I used a donkey once. I can even use you. Straighten me out real good. But I'm just telling you, it's amazing how this pride can sneak in, and it hinders us and keeps us from so many of the blessings, the opportunities that God would have for us. But we all have to deal with it. I mean, we can have pride about our appearance, about our strength, about our intellect or some talent, about our intestinal fortitude. We can be prideful about success or our accomplishments or our position. And as believers, it's amazing, but we can become prideful about our faith. I mean, how weird is it to feel pride about the fact that you depend on God more than somebody else? But okay. We can be prideful about our lifestyle and living for God and look down on others, but for the grace of God. And we can be prideful about our service for the Lord, our good deeds. We want others to know. We want others to recognize. I'm actually being nice, y'all. I'm leaving some things alone. But pride is a pitfall, even for the most spiritual. You know, after Jesus tells the disciples about what he's about to go through and what's going to happen, they're concerned about themselves. They're thinking about themselves. And James and John come to him and they say, Lord, when you come in your kingdom, grant us to sit on your right hand and your left. The other disciples heard about it and they were mad. You know, they wanted position too. They wanted recognition too. I'm just saying to you that none of us is above having to deal with pride. All of us have to. And I'll just say it this way. Sometimes it's the most talented, it's the most gifted, it's the one who has the most, that struggles the most. But I got to tell you that there are also times when we may not have much or feel very gifted, and yet somehow we manage to have pride anyway. We need to get free from it. Because I got to tell you, Jesus said, whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be the servant of all. I'd rather be the servant of all than a slave of pride. And you see, that's what happens, is that pride will enslave you. It'll drive you. It will push you. In John 8:32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In this crazy world, you know, they use that phrase, the truth will make you free. I've seen it and heard it in TV shows and movies and all kinds of ways. People just kind of throw that out there. The truth will make you free. There's only one truth that will make you free. There's only one source of truth. For real truth, it is the word of God. Jesus said, if you stay in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I want to tell you, if you'll stay in the word, if you'll look at what the scripture says about pride, it will set you free from pride. It'll help you get, when you know truth, you'll really get free. But as long as you allow your heart and mind to be so influenced by the world, you won't be able to get there. Be free. Free, yes. No longer a slave. And two verses later in John 8:34, Jesus says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And there's no sin that God hates worse than pride. It'll drive you. It'll burden you. It'll have you seeking the approval of others. always needing a little more. See, that's when you're a slave of pride, it just always wants more. It's a hard taskmaster. So I want you to hear the words of Jesus in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Oh, in our culture, so many people that just stressed out under pressure, they're weary. He says, "I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart." He doesn't say, "Come and I'll teach you how to be forceful and powerful." He says, "Learn from me, I'm gentle and lowly in heart." The NIV says, "Humble in heart." And then he says, "You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." I want to say again, we should do the best we can in everything that we do because we want to please the Lord. We do a good job at work. We do what we're supposed to do. But we do it to honor Him and to please Him. And it brings joy and freedom. Because when we do what we're supposed to do, listen, you see, Jesus has called us to take His yoke upon us. A yoke was made for two. That's why they called it a yoke of oxen. It's for two. And when you take on Jesus' yoke, you're taking it on with Jesus. And what was Jesus' yoke? He said, "I always do what pleases the Father." You see, He is a humble servant. He just obeyed and did what the Father wanted Him to do. And this is our yoke together with Jesus, is that we just please the Lord. We just do what He wants us to do. And we trust Him with the results. He takes care of the results. But I tell you, in this world, living with this pride, it's so self-defeating. It's just never enough. We push and we try and we struggle. And pride always will be a heavy, hard taskmaster. Get caught up in the rat race of life, trying to compete in some way. How much better if we just please the Lord and serve Him. Yes, learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You see, we end up thinking too highly of ourselves. And it's pride. Meek and lowly in heart. To be humble is to let God be God. Not to think too highly of ourselves. I want you to understand, being humble doesn't mean that you think of yourself as the scum of the earth. Being humble means that, well, maybe you don't think of yourself quite so much. But it means mostly to think of God as being everything. To recognize who He is. I've told this story before, but it just fits this morning. There's a man named George McCausland who was a YMCA director, and he had done a great job. But at one point, the membership was falling off, and so the finances were down, and he was having struggles with his staffing. And so he found himself working 85 hours a week, and he couldn't sleep at night. And when he did have a few moments off, all he did was worry and stress about the problems at work. And so he finally went to see a therapist, and the therapist told him, he said, "You're about to have a nervous breakdown. You've got to somehow turn this over to God." Well, George said he didn't really know how to do that, but he got him a pad and a pen, and he went for a walk out in the woods. And as he walked in the woods, he kind of felt like he was starting to relax, and he sat down and he decided to write the Lord a letter. And I'll read it to you, what he wrote. He said, "Dear God, today I hereby resign as general manager of the universe. Love, George." And George said, "And wonder of wonders, God accepted my resignation." And I tell you that story because I just want you to realize that, you see, some of us, we just take the weight of the world on us. You know, the weight of the family and the weight of the job and the weight of everything else. And I got to tell you, I know a little bit about this. I pastor a church. The buck stops here, we say. We just take so much weight upon ourselves. How about we just please the Lord? How about we just do what God wants us to do and we leave the rest to Him? I mean, see, people get crazy sometimes. I'm not talking about shirking responsibility. I'm not talking about, you know, just sit back, take it easy. No, we do our best always as unto the Lord, for the Lord. Amen. But we let go of the weight of it. See, that pride will burden you and push you and stress you. And it is so much a part of the reason that we're living in a culture that's so stressed out, struggling. We can be free. The truth will set you free. 1 Peter 5:5-7, similar, he says, "God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's the cure for pride, as we humble ourselves before the Lord. And He is the one who exalts us. We don't have to promote ourselves. We don't have to exalt ourselves. But get this, casting all your care on Him. See, you turn the care over to Him. You just do what you're supposed to do. But I want you to notice this one phrase. He says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God." Who are we humbling ourselves before? The Almighty God. You can do anything. We just need to learn to trust Him more. Just release it to Him. Cast those cares over on the Lord. I'll just kind of touch on this one more time, but some people, they're all concerned about self-esteem. We shouldn't feel good about ourselves because what we've done. We should feel good about ourselves because of what He's done. And we shouldn't be focused on, you know, trying to like ourselves. We ought to be focused on the fact that He loves us. I want to tell you, you got self-esteem problems? Focus on this. He sent His Son to die on the cross for you. Focus on this. He loves you. Humble servants. That's who we want to be. There's two ways you get humble. You do it yourself, or the Lord will do it for you. Luke 4:11, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Pretty clear. And I want to close with this verse from Isaiah 57. "For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." I want you to know that the high and holy one, the mighty one, He's with the humble and the contrite. And He'll revive you. If you'll humble yourself before the Lord, turn it all over to Him, cast all that pride and all of the cares off, I want to tell you, the Lord will revive you. He'll restore you and refresh you. He's with the contrite and the humble. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.